Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Once again, Washington has accused the Syrian government of launching a chemical attack in eastern Ghouta. And once again, Damascus has denied the allegations. Eastern Ghouta is about to be totally freed from terrorists for the first time in 6 years. So as Donald Trump claims that Damascus will pay a big price, is he really talking about the price he wants Syria to pay for not submitting to terrorists and their supporters are the price the Syrians should pay for protecting the sovereignty of their own country? Stay with us as we take a look at this on this debate. We're going to start this program off by crossing over to Damascus, welcoming our journalist there on the ground, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, lots of things taking place today. Please fill us in.
Yes, I am now at Al-Wafidin refugee camp on the outskirts of eastern Al-Ghouta, where the terrorists of Jaish al-Islam with families are expected. Leave just behind me, crowds of people have gathered. They are mostly made up of the families of the kidnapped civilians and army personnel who are also expected to be released by this terrorist group. Of course, the Syrian army reached this final deal with terrorists of Jaish al-Islam, which is the last terrorist group in eastern Al-Ghouta, on their evacuation following 2 days of heavy strikes by the Syrian army. 8,000 terrorists of Jaish al-Islam are expected to be bussed out from this area behind me here, Douma, towards either Jarablus or El Bab in northern Syria. And in exchange, of course, those terrorists will be releasing thousands of kidnapped civilians and Syrian army personnel who have been kidnapped and are inside the prisons of Jaish al-Islam for over 5 years, some of them inside Douma over here in eastern Al-Ghouta. By successfully implementing this evacuation deal, this would lead to a militant free eastern Ghouta for the first time in 7 years. Those terrorists have been occupying this town, Douma, and other terrorist groups occupying other areas inside eastern Ghouta for over 7 years. This would mean that finally there will be no more mortar attacks on Damascus, mortar attacks that have been falling on them and being launched from this area. This is one of the most strategic and important victories for the Syrian army, as the Syrian army is thus clearing the largest stretch of land that terrorists used to occupy since almost the start of the unrest, since 2011, near Damascus, of course.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that update out of Damascus. That's Press TV's Muhammad Ali. Now I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of Madison, Wisconsin, Dr. Kevin Barrett, author and Middle East expert, and out of Beirut, political commentator, Middle East experts, Jihad Morakadeh. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us. Let's start this off in Beirut. And Jihad Morakadeh, why would the Syrian government use chemical weapons in an area that it is liberating and is victorious in?
They have done it before. So what is the question? They have done it in Aleppo. They have done it all over the place.
My question
is,
why?
They have been condemned by the international community so many times already.
Okay, you asked me, what's the question? My question is, if they are victorious, if they are winning, why would they
I do not understand
be aggressive
would
and
they
have
do
this
it?
Attack?
They do it. They do it because they think it is an easier way to win their battles than using normal weapons or normal ammunition. The Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, has been condemned so many times for using chemical weapons. There has already been a response from Donald Trump, President Trump, and they continue to do it, irrespective. So there's nothing new. It is in the ADN of the Syrian regime to use chemical weapons.
Crossing back to Kevin Barrett, your take on what our other guests has just said. Your perspective, why would the Bashar Assad government use chemical weapons, especially in a place that they are actually victorious? Your take on all of this?
Well, you know, Jihad should be ashamed of himself. He knows he's lying. Trump knows that these reports are lies. Every policymaker throughout the world knows that these accusations are lies, and yet they continue to go along with them. war propaganda has overtaken truth at every level around the world, and especially in the West. Obviously, the Syrian government has already won. They would have absolutely no reason to use chemical weapons at this point. They already negotiated essentially a surrender, and it's all going through. So who, and yes, Mr. Jihad, this has happened before. Every time the Syrian government is about to win and peace is about to break out, at that point, the rebel forces or their propaganda apparatus, such as the White Helmets or the so-called Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is one guy in his basement cranking out propaganda that's completely made up, they come up with these ridiculous chemical weapons stories. In the beginning of this whole campaign of war propaganda was when President Obama stupidly said that chemical weapons would be a red line. That was a signal that was then used by the more unscrupulous elements of the people fighting against the Syrian government to start rigging up chemical weapons atrocities and false reports of chemical weapons atrocities and try to blame them on Damascus. And that's happened over and over and over.
Okay.
There's not one single reliable report of chemical weapons used by the Syrian government.
Who do I believe?
And there are dozens of reliable reports of false flags and chemical weapons attacks arranged by the opposition, and false reports of that arranged by the opposition. Anyone who believes that the Syrian government would cross that so-called red line at this moment is either insane or knows they're lying. Which one is it, Jihad? Are you crazy or are you a liar? I'm pretty sure the answer is that you are a liar.
I am going to tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Can I say something?
Sure.
Why should I believe what you're saying and you don't believe what I'm saying? The United Nations had a special investigation committee who decided that Assad has been using chemical weapons. Now, I believe the United Nations Special Investigation Committee. You believe your own reports, okay? So I think that what you believe are lies, and what I believe is
elementary
truth.
Elementary strategic logic.
So let's stop discussing this.
Okay, Jihad.
You are believing lies.
Okay, Jihad.
As you said I'm a liar, you are a liar, so let's quit.
And let us move on. Jihad, do you think that the U.S. claims have anything to do, possibly, with the militants losing more and more ground in Syria, and that Washington is trying to do whatever it can to impede the impending victory by the Syrian government troops and their allies?
Well, it depends, first of all, what you call by victory. From my point of view, the Syrian regime has been totally defeated in the sense that as a Syrian regime, it cannot do much without Iran and Russia. So it has been defeated since 2015. So let's not talk about any victory. On the grounds, it is Russian planes and Syrian planes which are helping the Syrian army to defeat the so-called, quote-unquote, terrorists, which I call resistance to the Syrian
regime. And where were these terrorists from?
The north of Syria.
Where were these
totally
individuals from? Were they Syrians, sir? Were the majority of these terrorists Syrians?
There are locals. There are Syrians, madam. Who come from various areas and who have all been moved to either Idlib or to Jarabulus.
All the reports coming out of Europe about the number of individuals who've left Europe, the number of people who have left even Eastern European countries and others to go through Turkey, to go to Syria. Are you saying they're lies, sir?
No, but this was ages ago, ma'am.
And what happened to them? They just left, or were they defeated?
The people who are with Turkey fighting in Afrin, who are they?
Okay. Okay, let me cross back over to Kevin Barrett. Kevin, your take on this, basically what John Markande is saying, is that this is, I guess, a civil war, and that these are Syrians fighting Syrians, but the proof seemed to say something different.
Well, unfortunately, different countries around the world, including the world's biggest imperial powers, have gotten involved in Syria. So it really has never been a civil war. There is civil strife in Syria. There is some opposition in Syria. There's a segment of Syrian society that does not support the regime, and there's a segment of Syrian society that does, just like everywhere else. Interestingly, the Al Jazeera poll at the height of Assad's unpopularity showed something like 55% of the Syrian people supporting him. Al Jazeera, of course, was biased very strongly against him. So I think we can agree that that's either true or an understatement. So it seems that the majority of Syrians do support their government, despite its flaws. And I would admit that there are plenty of them. But the point here is that this orchestrated attempt to take down the Syrian government and do regime change was plotted well in advance. It was essentially announced in advance by the US and its neocon Zionist operatives. They came to an agreement to do it. I believe there was a Paris meeting. A fellow named Feldman at the time was a key player in this. So what we're really seeing here is another orchestrated regime change operation. And some Syrians who have various kinds of beefs against their government, many of them economic, because there was a terrible drought that wrecked Syria's economy during several years leading up to this. So that unrest did feed into the regime change operation. But this was a foreign external war on Syria by the United States and Israel and their regional proxies, designed to try to remove a thorn in their side, which is one of the few remaining independent countries in the region, and indeed in the world. The reason that Russia and Iran rushed to the defense of the Syrian government is that they know that if they don't, they're next. The empire has taken down every relatively independent government in the region. The Iraqi government was only slightly independent, but even it had to go because it was devoting too much of its oil resources to its own people. The Libyan government was too independent. It had to go. It was trying to create a gold dinar, silver dirham currency for Africa, so they had to go. The next on the list would be Iran and Russia, okay. So and China. So those countries have to support the Syrian government and draw a red line and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't do any more of these regime changes. And they've succeeded.
All
and
right,
that's
stay
why
with me. Stay with me, Kevin Barrett. Let
desperate.
Me get Jihad Markande back in on this.
Why?
Jihad,
because,
how likely
because
is
Iran,
it that Washington
Russia
is.
And China
Jihad,
are
please
going
listen
to, go.
To me. I'm asking you a question. How
I mean,
likely is
on.
It that Washington is preparing for a more direct military action in Syria when Trump says that Syria will pay? Jihad, did you hear the question?
He didn't say Syria will pay. He said Assad will pay. He said animal Assad will pay. Very precisely. Not Syria will pay. On the other hand, let's focus on the Syrian issue. Syria itself, as a war in process or a political process, is not there yet. We all know that in order to get a political process ongoing in Syria, you have to get the whole international community on board. Russia itself, Putin, can invade all of Syria as long as he does not have the support of the international community. He cannot get a Syrian solution. This is Putin's major problem. He has said so many times already, the war in Syria is over, the war in Syria is over, I'm withdrawing, and he comes back, he keeps on coming back. The war in Syria is not over. It is over the day the whole international community, that is the United Nations Security Council, agrees on a solution to Syria, a solution that is negotiated amongst the Syrians. If the Syrians agree that Assad wants to stay and the international community does not support it, he will not stay, no matter what. So a solution in Syria has to go through international community. This is the problem for Putin. And this is what he has not been able to achieve, and he will never achieve without America and the West.
All right, Kevin Barrett, your America take on what Jihad Mordechai has just said.
A plan for Syria.
Well, I think Mordechai is mistaking the Anglo-Zionist Empire for the international community. It's true that the Anglo-Zionist Empire is very dominant around the world. If you look at a map of the countries that are occupied by the United States military, where there are United States military occupation bases, you'll find that the Middle East, or Muslim East, as I prefer to call it, and much of the rest of the world is occupied by this empire. So those countries are not independent. They are not part of any international community. They are simply occupied vassal states of an imperial power. And those countries cannot be considered independent. They are not part of any international community. What Mr. Mordechai seems to be saying is that the Zio-American empire has the right to decide what is the fate of Syria. And they don't. This is what the governments in Russia and Iran and to some extent China are all saying, is that we are living in a multipolar world now. And despite the fact that this empire does occupy much of the world and dictates how much of the world acts at the United Nations and elsewhere, it no longer has the right to unilaterally tell countries like Syria who their government is going to be.
Well, Kevin Barrett, looking at the situation in Eastern Ghouta, I'm curious with the claims that chemical weapons have been used. Why do you think the same claims that we hear time and time and time again, that basically it does not change, even though we know that Syria turned in their chemicals to the OPCW years ago? So why do they continue basically saying the same thing?
Well, it all stems from Barack Obama's stupid statement about that red line. That's what created the perception that there was something magical about chemical
because
weapons,
they have,
that
because
somehow
the
way that they kill people
and
other
weapons
kill people,
which is not the same kind of chemical weapons that has been done before.
Therefore,
and chlorine is milder chemical weapon.
Stay with me, Jihad. Let Kevin finish, and I will give you an opportunity.
Chemical weapons are used. If a few people die of chemical weapons,
then the Syrian regime has
for U.S. intervention and bombing.
And they have
Syria.
Used it again
That's
today.
Jihad?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
One second,
sorry.
Kevin.
I'm sorry.
Jihad Mordechai, please. Please let Kevin finish, and I will definitely give you an opportunity. Continue, Kevin, please.
Yes, this is a psychological operation. And again, it stems back to the time when Barack Obama made the mistake of saying there was a red line around the issue of chemical weapons. And this is, of course, ludicrous.
You did not give me an opportunity, excuse me.
Just as other kinds of weapons do. There's nothing special about any
particular
type of weapon.
I was saying that the international community has already had an investigation.
That there was something
it put an investigation
about
on the table
weapons.
To the United Nations Security Council, and Russia blocked it.
Sort of
stay with
Russia,
me, Kevin.
Is an imperial
stay with
power,
me, Kevin. Jihad,
wants to develop its imperial
Jihad, go ahead. You wanted to comment.
Capability
now's
and
the time
control
to comment.
Over countries in the Middle East. So, yes, Syria is not an independent country. It is a stooge of Russia, and Bashar al-Assad is a stooge of Russia.
Okay, well, Kevin Barrett, where do you think this goes from here? What is it going to take? We see more and more areas in Syria being liberated, and we're looking right now at some live images, actually, as I speak, from Eastern Ghouta. We're waiting for the terrorists to leave that area. Also, people who also waiting for the prisoners, thousands of prisoners that terrorists have held to be free. So with the Syrian government becoming more and more victorious in their offensive, what is it going to take, though, to bring peace to Syria again?
Well, we're on the road to restoration of peace and stability in Syria, but I'm frankly worried about the situation that we're in right now. This new cabinet of Trump's with Bolton and Pompeo is they are the most psychotic neoconservative extremist warmongers that you could imagine. There are people here in the United States who say, yes, we're losing our world hegemony, but we still have military hegemony, and we'd better fight World War III now before we lose that military edge. And so these people are willing to risk the deaths of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, possibly everyone on Earth due to nuclear winter, in order to pursue this crazed dream of total global power. And Bolton and Pompeo are very much of that kind of mindset. So we're in a very dangerous situation right now. As so many people have said, this is far more dangerous than the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the world came so close to a nuclear war that would have killed tens or hundreds of millions of people. We're at that point again. Okay. And the rest of the world, the occupied countries of Europe, who are occupied by the United States, NATO is an American occupying army, these occupied nations of Europe and the rest of the occupied nations of the world need to stand up and tell the American leadership that it's time to stop risking the lives of the people of this planet. It's time to draw back and accept a multipolar world.
And on that note, I appreciate everyone being with us. First and foremost, our correspondent there on the ground in Damascus, Muhammad Ali, and of course, our very special guests, both Mr. Kevin Barrett and Mr. Jihad Morakade, thanking you both for being with us on this debate. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. Right here at Press TV, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.